getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah of Tonic Podcast. I'm happy to be here with Dr. Tanya Winchester, and our subject for today is immune boosters. Tanya, tell us what you know about immune boosters.
Perfect. So I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about how the immune system functions, if that's okay, because the term boost can be tricky when we're talking about the immune system. So first of all, there can be an overfunctioning of the immune system and there can be an underfunctioning of the immune system. And these two directions of functionality can happen with respect to our own body tissues, we'll call that self, or outside organisms, so we'll call that non-self. These would be things like viruses, bacteria, parasites, fungi. So if the immune system is over-functioning towards its own tissues, that shows up in the body as autoimmune disease. If the body is over-functioning to non-self, this is going to show up as allergies. So the body is more reactive to these substances that are, you know, not causing problems in other people. If the immune system is under-functioning to self, that's when we start to see cancer. And basically the immune cells are not able to manage these mutated cancer cells. And then if the immune system is under-functioning towards non-self, towards the outside, that's when we see chronic infections. So this is the person who's always got the latest bug that's going around. So when we're talking about immune boosting, it's actually, I think, better to say immune balancing. So how do we make sure that the immune system is neither over or under functioning? And there's lots of ways that we can do that in naturopathic medicine.
So what are some of those ways?
Yeah, so one of the favorite herbs of mine that you've probably heard about is echinacea. And echinacea is one of these examples of a herb that will actually help the immune system adapt or balance. And it's unfortunately understood kind of incorrectly. People think, okay, as soon as I feel like I'm getting sick, I should take my echinacea. It actually has really good benefits to take long term. So it's one of those ones I would recommend to my patients to actually take throughout the season as opposed to just when you're getting sick. And when we're looking at the species of echinacea, it's important to have the right species. So there's lots of different types of echinacea. And this is in your garden, this is the purple flowering top that we see. And there's two species, purpura, so echinacea purpura, and echinacea augustifolia. And it's the roots of the herbs that we're using, not the flowering tops. And in combination, these two actually have a synergistic effect. So the two types of echinacea help the other type of echinacea function better in the body. This is a great example of an immune balancer or booster. Vitamin D is another great example of that, especially when, you know, the weather gets darker and colder. Vitamin D is something that will help to tonify that immune system.
What about vitamin C, the old folklore that vitamin C is best for a cold or flu?
Right, and there certainly are great immune benefits from vitamin C. That's an example of one that I wouldn't necessarily take longer term, but acutely it's really beneficial. Another great example of an acute nutrient would be zinc. So when you feel like you're getting sick, upping your vitamin C, upping your zinc are really great strategies.
So it sounds like there's some immune balancing herbs and supplements that are helpful just to prevent a person from getting sick. And then if a person's on the verge of getting sick, there are other supplements or herbs that help to boost the immune system at that moment.
Yes, exactly. And there's other techniques that I like to teach my patients too. This is one of my favorites. It's an old school naturopathic technique and it uses water. So this is something we would call hydrotherapy or water cure. And this is a really cool technique. So basically, before bed, if you feel like you're getting sick, for some people that feels like a sore throat very often. And okay, so you feel that sore throat. So this is the last thing you do as you're getting into bed. You're going to go to your bathroom with a pair of ankle socks that are ideally made out of cotton. And you're going to get them wet under cold water. And then they get wrung out so they're damp and not dripping water everywhere. They go onto the feet, and then wool socks go on over top. That's a really key step, and you slide into bed. And so what happens is, interestingly, the body doesn't like having cold, wet socks on it. So it actually sends blood flow to the feet to warm up the socks. You wake up and the socks are dry, and what has happened is the congestion that's been building in the upper chest, in the sinuses, actually sort of drains out. And while it's not sort of the mucus draining into your feet, there is this sort of fluid balancing effect that happens with this technique, and it's really cool. So I suggest doing this like 3 days in a row when you feel like you're getting sick.
Mm-hmm. And what other things can contribute to lowering immunity?
Yeah, very good question. So there are so many things in our environment that we're exposed to that change how our body's able to respond to things. And there's 7 or 8 of them that I like to talk about, and one is emotional stress. So unfortunately, when we get stressed, our immune system goes down. The function of our immune system decreases. If we're exposed to physical stress in the form of chronic pain or injuries or surgeries, that kind of thing, that will also change the immune function. The nutrient levels of in our body are going to make a difference. So if we're eating a diet that isn't rich in some of our really important things like vitamin A and vitamin E and vitamin C and these antioxidants you keep hearing about, those are all immune support molecules. So if you're eating a lot of sort of nutrient deficient foods, you're going to have a nutrient deficient body and your immune system will be also deficient. Another big one, and I work with my patients a lot on this, is working with food allergies. So very often, if we're eating a food that is reactive to our biochemistry, that's also going to lower the immune function. And so I see this quite commonly with an example of seasonal allergies. If we change the food someone is eating, they're less likely to be reactive to the pollens and the environmental things that they're exposed to. Yeah. And then, of course, there's, things like those viruses, those bacteria, those parasites that I mentioned, they're all an insult to the immune system. If one is functioning well, then those things shouldn't be a problem. And then lastly, toxins in the environment. So unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that we're exposed to in our food, in our air, in our water, really does dampen the effect that the immune system can have on some of these pathogens.
So nutrition, allergies, emotional stress, toxins in the environment, these all have an effect on the immune system.
Absolutely. Yeah, another example of physical stress I'll just mention is overtraining. So we often see this in, marathon runners or these people that are going really far distances, their immune systems just really kind of crap out on them. And that's that physical stress taking a toll.
How important is rest and relaxation for the immune system?
Oh, it's everything. Yeah, it absolutely is so important. So ideally, you're getting, 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That's going to help everything kind of reset and recharge. Yeah.
And in terms of emotional stress, I just think sometimes with the winter season, there's a lot of family gatherings and a lot of social gatherings, which for some people may contribute to emotional stress. Are there things that people can do in advance of those kinds of events that can help them to manage any kind of anxiety or mental stress?
Oh, that's a great question. And you're right, it's just kind of the perfect storm of these germs flying around and then also the, social or anxiety from the family. I really think that identifying your triggers is a really important one, but also identifying your values and maybe deciding there's 3 or 4 things that are really important to you that you're wanting more of and saying no to the rest. And so setting boundaries, I mean, if we think about what the immune system's function is, it's all about a boundary between us and the outside. So, you know, being able to say, you know what, I'm not going to make that function. I'm looking after myself tonight. Or, you know what, no, I don't want to go to the family dinner with so-and-so. Those are all valid and okay things. And those are ways that you can actually teach your immune system. Sounds a little bit silly, but you can actually teach your immune system that you're taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your own personal regime around this time of year in order to boost your immune system.
Yes, perfect. So I am really careful with three specific things at this time of year. And one is I make sure I'm taking my vitamin D regularly. You know, you'll hear that you're supposed to take 1,000 international units per day. When you actually look at what your body's using physiologically, it's actually higher than that. So anything higher than that actually should be prescribed by a physician who can do so. But I take the amount that my body's going to need to maintain its immune function. I like to take an immune balancing combo that includes medicinal mushrooms. So I have a few products in my clinic where there's 4 or 5 different mushrooms that I will actually take throughout the season. And then the third is that echinacea I mentioned. So I do take an echinacea tablet most days throughout the fall and into the winter. I also most times will do a kind of immune balancing boosting protocol that comes in the form of some remedies that get sprayed into the mouth and taken under the tongue.
And how effective have you found the things that you do? How effective are they?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm surrounded by sick people as they come into my clinic throughout the fall and winter. And most years I'll get a small bug that will maybe last 48 hours at the most. And I think that's great. That's my immune system saying, yep, we're still working, but we don't need to have you, you know, out on the couch for 3 weeks. So I actually like that little healthy response. My body knows what to do with the bugs. It gets rid of them. And sometimes 2 years will go by before that actually happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is there anything you mentioned when people are sick around not going to, for example, yoga classes or not coming into the clinic just so that other people don't get sick?
I think that is a very kind and courteous thing to not go places when you're sick. And not only that, but going back to that idea of rest, your body is sick and it needs rest. That's the only thing that will really help it heal at the end of the day. You know, if we take out all the other variables, rest is the thing that the body really needs. And so honoring that and also honoring the people that you'd be around, I think, is a kind thing.
Mm-hmm. So this has been really informative. I've learned some new things. And I'd like to come back to something you said earlier that was really interesting to me. How the immune system is the body's boundary system.
Yes.
Can you say more about the importance of being able to say no in social settings or being able to say no to commitments?
Yeah. And we're looking at things now from a mind-body perspective, and there's certainly an understanding in many circles, myself included, that the way we behave in our lives has an effect on our physiology. And so it's not just about the bug. It's not just about the food. It's not just about, you know, the toxin. There's these components of how we behave that actually change our biochemistry. And more now they're recognizing that this is true. And science is identifying this as being accurate. But essentially, if we think about our bodies being like a human donut, and our digestive tract is the inside of the donut, when we eat food or exposed to bugs that may come in through our mouth, for example, they go into our digestive system. And at this point, they're not in the body yet. So they have to go through the mucous membranes, that's a boundary, into the body. We also have mucous membranes in our respiratory system, in our genitals and urinary tract as well. So bugs get in through the mucous membrane, through that boundary, and then they have an impact on the immune system where it now needs to kind of deal with the bug. So if we take that out to that broader perspective of how we behave, and that can change our physiology, if we look at all the places in our life where we need to establish better boundaries, often we'll see people that are getting, say, intestinal issues or intestinal infections when they're having trouble discerning who the good people are in their life and who the less than good people are in their life. Another example would be in, say, the lungs. People who might have a tendency to more upper respiratory infections would have a boundary issue around letting go and even grieving. So each body part, each mucous membrane has a tendency that we can actually witness in the person's, you know, behaviors in their life.
And that's fascinating. I find the whole mind-body connection absolutely fascinating. At the same time, is it possible to overthink or overanalyze?
Of course. Absolutely. I think everything should be taken, you know, in the context of the person's life. I think that's really important that we make sure we're looking at every human as an individual. This isn't going to apply to everyone. And, you know, some of those maybe trickier cases that I might see in my practice where, okay, the normal herbal medicines aren't working, the normal nutritional medicines aren't working. Well, maybe let's explore things from a different angle and see if there's relevance or validity there.
Well, this has been very informative, and and I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add.
I would like to add that you, listeners, are the people in charge of your health. So you have to know what's true for you. And I think that's another aspect of self-care that's really valuable, just as we were touching on, not everything is going to be good for everyone. So if your auntie is saying you need to be taking, you know, elderberry, and then you're boyfriend is saying that you need to be taking whatever, you need to find what's going to work for you. So that's really, at the end of the day, the main message is everybody's unique and everybody's going to have a different set of things that's going to work for them or not.
Mm-hmm. And best would be to consult with a...
Yes, ma'am.
Qualified practitioner.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.